Things are a bit different today. We have three interns at church this year, and what they're going to do is they're going to offer three short reflections on living with Jesus. But I'm going to pray for us and hopefully then set the scene. But let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be people that live well with you. Now, we thank you that you've reminded us all term that because of Jesus, we are with you. And so, Lord, we want to live that truth out. And, Lord, we pray that you'll help us this morning to hear what you have to say and that your Spirit will help us live it out. Amen. I saw a sleep doctor last year. I hadn't really been having trouble sleeping, but I would wake up in the morning and I just didn't feel rested. Anyway, I've ended up with one of those kind of sleep apnea machines. I call it my life support machine. But when I was catching up with the doctor, I said, what would actually help me get a good night's sleep? And she actually just told me stuff I already knew. Like, you know, don't drink coffee before bed, don't exercise right before bed, stop watching screens just before bed, have a regular wake-up time in the morning, and all the kind of good hours of sleep are before midnight, right? Just really basic stuff, stuff I already knew, except it was stuff that, even though I knew it, I wasn't doing it. It was just stuff I didn't do. And we can all be like that a bit. We know what's best and right, and yet we don't bother with it, right? And it can be a bit like that following Jesus too. We've been seeing all term that Jesus has done everything for us to have life with God. We are in Jesus, Jesus is in us. And we have seen so many amazing things that are true because of being united with Jesus, right? We know this stuff to be true, and yet sometimes it just doesn't feel true or even look true in our lives. And that's why we read those same verses from John 15 this morning, right? Because in those verses, we hear Jesus call out again and again to remain with him, to live with him, to live closely with him and his Father, our Father. And so we're going to look at three helpful ways this morning that we can do life with Jesus. And they're ways that are going to remind us of God's grace to us, of who we are in Jesus. And they're going to help us desire more and more to keep doing life with him, to remain with him, just like he calls us to. Ben's going to kick us off.
So I'm going to kick off for us today by looking at how we read the Bible, meditating on the Word, and how it can help us to do life with Jesus day after day. And this is something that's so important to get right, because when you join with Jesus, reading the Bible is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to remind us of who we are in Jesus and to shape our lives. And look, for some of us, our quiet times, reading the Bible and praying, it's just ingrained into us. But for others, it's more of a struggle. For me, I struggle sometimes, and that struggle often comes from the language barrier. You know, I open my Bible, and I know it's good for me to be doing that, but sometimes I just struggle to understand what it's trying to say. And it's really hard for Jesus to speak to us if we're having trouble understanding what it is that he's trying to say to us. So what is it about spending time meditating on the Word that helps us to keep doing life with Jesus? Maybe you might struggle at times to see that it's even relevant or worth putting any effort into. So, you know, with that in mind, why would we bother then? There's this really great verse in Hebrews, and it's chapter 4, verse 12, if you want to look it up for yourself. But it says that, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, and it cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And that's so true, isn't it? The Bible, God's Word, it's not just some book that sits on the shelf. Sometimes I think we treat God's Word like that, like it's dead and not alive, like it's irrelevant and it's not active. But it is living. It is active. And it can hit us right where we're at. It can cut us to the core. And it goes to work in us. It allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us. It allows us to grow ourselves, and to grow our understanding. It keeps pointing us back to Jesus and the reality of who we are in Him. So if God's word is living and it is active, and through it He speaks to us, and He goes to work in our hearts, what could that look like for us? How can we prioritize spending time in the Word? What can we do to help us meditate on it so that we can really listen to God and have Him go to work in us? I thought I might share a couple of tips that could help you in your own time reading the Bible. I mentioned earlier about my own struggle with the language barrier. And one thing that's helped me is trying some different translations or even some Bible commentaries. Recently, I've been reading the NLT version, and I've found that quite helpful personally. And I've even found that reading the Message can help to understand sort of the bigger picture of a passage. And I'm definitely not saying that that's going to work for you, but what I am saying is that there's so many different translations and Bible reading tools that are available. You know, there's Bible Gateway, there's podcasts, things that can help us to understand what God is trying to say as we meditate on His Word. Now, my other tip is reading plans. If you've got a Bible app on your phone, it's more than likely the YouVersion app, but you know, most Bible apps will have something similar. And that's structured plans that help us to spend time in God's Word and help us keep coming back to it. They can be as short as a couple of days or as long as the whole year. A couple of good ones I've found, What Is God's Plan For Me? Goes for about a week, and yeah, as the name suggests, it's you know some biblical references back to what God's plan is for us. That one's quite a good one. That's What's God's Plan For Me? There's also the one-year chronological Bible plan. Goes for the whole year and it tackles a piece of the Bible every single day. Yeah, the one-year chronological Bible. Those are just a couple of examples, but there's so many more. You just need to find a topic that you like or something that's really on your heart at the time and just give it a go. The other good thing about reading plans is that they can help keep us accountable. They can help you keep coming back to God's Word more regularly. There's even options on a lot of these apps to do them with friends or with family so that you can be sharing in the Word together and together you can sort of be helping to keep each other accountable at the same time. God's Word is living. It's active and God speaks to us and He works in us. When we spend time reading and meditating on it, He reminds us of who we are in Jesus. And He helps us to keep doing life with Jesus day after day.
We've seen how reading the Bible helps us do life with Jesus as God talks to us through His Word. Well, wouldn't the natural and right thing to do in response be to talk back? We do this through prayer. Praying helps us do life with Jesus because through Jesus we have a relationship with God. And when you're in relationship with someone, you have to talk to them. Imagine not ever talking to the one of your parents, even though you live in the same house. Imagine never having a conversation with a member of your family, someone you supposedly have a strong and sure relationship with. You would undoubtedly be drifting away from that person. And I know for some, you don't have to imagine what that's like. True relationships require work. They require communication. And our relationship with our Heavenly Father is the exact same. And how do we communicate with Him? By praying. The disciples saw Jesus doing relationship with God as He prayed, and they wanted that connection with God too. So what does Jesus do? He teaches them to pray to their heavenly Father. In Luke 11, we read, "One day, Jesus was praying in certain places. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Now, on this side of the cross, we are given the Holy Spirit and are joined with Jesus so that we can have that connection with God too. Because in Jesus, we are God's children. And Jesus invites us to call God Father. Paul writes in Romans 8, "The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." When we are joined with Jesus, we are God's children, which means we can talk to him like we are his children. We can come to the Father confidently with the assurance that he will hear our prayers because we have been united with Jesus. Now, over the last few months, a lot of you or someone you might know might have been in a situation where you haven't been able to see family, or someone you love has been stuck somewhere and they haven't been able to visit. But there is still FaceTime. And while it's not quite as good as being in person, face to face, and it's hard sometimes to feel that sense of closeness, it still is pretty good being able to talk with those people, still getting to tell them about your life and getting to hear about theirs, still getting to connect and feel connected with them in some way. Well, prayer is kind of like our FaceTime with God. Sometimes it can be hard to feel close to God, but there is a time coming where we will be able to be face to face with the Father, when it won't be hard, and we will always feel our closeness and relationship with him. But in the meantime, we have to put in a little effort to do life with Jesus and to actually feel how close we are with God by praying regularly to our Father. So here's kind of two ways that might help you talk with God and experience the relationship you have with him through Jesus. First, if you are someone wrestling with not feeling that closeness you have with God through Jesus, something that could help you is by starting your prayers by saying, "My Father," and focus on what saying those words means. Let it remind you of the truth of your relationship with the Father as his child through Christ. While it is good and right to say, "Dear God" or "Lord," sometimes acknowledging the fact that God is your Father helps you feel that truth as you pray and live your life in relationship with the Father. When we pray, we are God's children, coming to him with the assurance we receive through our union with Jesus, that he wants to listen, and he wants us to talk to him. So you can talk to him as the loving Father that he is. Finally, it is great to pray communally with others. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, "Our Father." Praying in groups reminds us that we're part of a whole family because of Jesus. We share God as our Father, and so it helps us to do life with Jesus as we do life as a whole family, talking to our Father together.
We've looked at two practical ways that we can keep doing life with Jesus and walking with him. We're going to have a look at our third way now, gathering together in Christian community. We read in Genesis 1 that as humans we were created in community and created for community. We were created in the image of God, the God of community. As people who are united to Jesus, we're also saved into a community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body." These verses really are our union with Christ. We have been recreated into a community and saved into a community. So how does gathering in community actually help us do life with Jesus? Gathering as followers of Jesus in community helps us to keep doing life with him, because it's in Christian community that we're mutually encouraged in our faith. Paul says in Romans 1 to the church in Rome, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." I can remember when I was at school, a group of us signed up to a volleyball competition. But the thing was, none of us could actually play volleyball. We were all terrible, and we were versing people that were pretty good. So we were getting smashed in every game. But it was still a great team to be a part of. The cheers and celebrations we would have when we won just 1 point, anyone probably thought we'd won the whole game. The community we had made it a really encouraging team to be a part of. Have you ever been a part of a team or a community like that? Let's quickly jump into the Bible and have a look at two ways we see this mutual encouragement happening in community in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." When we gather as a community of believers, it is where we can use our spiritual gifts to help one another to keep doing life with Jesus, for the common good of the body that is Christ. We can be encouraged by each other's faith and the work of the Spirit in each of us. And secondly, in Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, and singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Christian community is where we're reminded of the gospel, the message of Christ. One of the ways we do this is by singing together. There's a lot of ways, but singing is a huge part of what we do when we gather together. And the songs we sing are filled with gospel truths and are great for teaching and correcting us as we do life with Jesus. So do you think this is true for us at DPC? Do you think we do a good job of these things, of helping each other do life with Jesus when we gather? Do you use your words to remind people of the gospel and encourage them? Or do you do whatever it takes to avoid any meaningful conversations? Do you use your gifts for the benefit of others or just keep them to yourself? Particularly at the moment when meeting together is hard, we need to be helping each other to keep living with Jesus day after day. And the main way we can do this is by gathering together and mutually encouraging each other in our faith. Two quick tips that might help us do this. Firstly, to reset your mind each time we gather. Take a second in the car before you come in or as you come in the front doors. Just take a second to reset your mind from an inward focus to an outward focus. And secondly, to sing loud and proud, even if you can't so well, because it's so encouraging and it's one of the key ways we preach the word of God to each other. As we've seen, when we gather together in community and when each of us who are in Christ play a part in the body, it's mutually encouraging. When we use our spiritual gifts to build others up, when we sing, we remind each other of the gospel. We're helping each other to keep walking with Jesus and doing life with him. When our community works the way God intended it, each of us is both reminding others of the grace of God while also being reminded ourselves. I want to leave you with this story that author Rankin Wilburn shares in Union with Christ.
His neighbour and friend is a world-class pianist.
He's one of those guys that can just sit there and create incredible music without even thinking about it.
But it took a lot of practice.
Hundreds of hours of practice.
And patience and discipline.
And he knows that he will never get beyond the need for that discipline.
So he still practices every day.
And it's the same with our journey with Jesus.
We need to constantly be feeding ourselves with God's word.
Spending time with him in prayer.
And building community with one another.
And the only way to actually do this is to read God's word.
To prioritise spending time with him in prayer,
and with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
And when we make an effort to do these things,
they become habits, and those habits, they're really good for us.
Sometimes we can think of habits as being mechanical or even empty.
But making habits of these things is actually a really good living example of our union with Christ.
There are opportunities to let God change us and shape us by his grace.
And they help us to keep doing life with Jesus.
United with him.
Day after day.
Day after day.
Day after day.